Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are at the very end of David's life. We've been spending quite a bit of time here looking at the life of David. And we're in 1 Kings, first chapter. And we've seen in the previous episode that there's all sorts of chicanery going along here. A lot of royal intrigue, as they say, palace intrigue. Bathsheba and Nathan have come before David and told him what had happened, that Adonijah has declared himself to be king. And they're basically telling the king, hey, it's now time to follow through what you told us. You told us that your son Solomon would be king, and it's now time to make him king. He agrees to that. So we pick it up here in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 32, and it says this. King David said, call to me Zadok, the priest, Nathan, the prophet, and Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada. So they came before the king. So we've seen these guys all the way through everything we've seen with the life of David. You have someone who's one of the priests. You have Nathan, the prophet, and Benaniah, who's the leader of David's bodyguard. Verse 33, and the king said to them, take with you the servants of your Lord and have Solomon, my son, ride on my own mule and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok, the priest, and Nathan, the prophet there, anoint him king over Israel. Then blow the trumpet and say, long live King Solomon. So he's telling them, go and anoint Solomon. Go get Solomon. Put him on my mule. Now, this would be the king's mule. We sort of chuckle in our culture, like, okay, really a mule, is this something of high esteem? It is, particularly the king's mule. It would be in the same way that we know a presidential limousine, that type of thing, for instance. People would know that Solomon was riding on the king's mule, and that would speak to them as much as anything. So he's saying, hey, you take my servants, you take the people around me, and you go down and do this. And then you anoint him at this particular place in Gihon, anoint him over Israel, and blow the trumpet, a thing of declaration, declare it to where everybody will hear, and then say this, long live King Solomon. In other words, you go and you declare him king. Now, the same type of thing had just been done by Adonijah. But he had done it preemptively, and he'd done it of his own volition. He had done it without the graces of the current king, David, his dad. He just did it. So watch what happens. David continues, verse 35. You shall then come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, for he shall be king in my place. And I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. So it wasn't just this declaration. Adonijah had made a declaration, remember, and called all the sons of David and all the people that were supporting him and called them to a feast. And as a matter of fact, as we're going to see later in this account, they're in the midst of that feast at this moment. Okay? So they're over at this other place having this big feast saying that he's the king, while the true king, who has been appointed by the previous king, David, is now being installed. And he, David says, you bring him and he shall come and sit on my throne. Adonijah wasn't sitting on the king's throne. Then David just forthrightly declares it. He shall be king in my place. Even while David is still alive, he shall be king. You know, quite often these kind of situations, you might have a king in waiting. You might have somebody that's there, and they are basically, what are they waiting for? Well, they're waiting for the previous generation to die off. David's saying, no, he shall be king in my place. Now, David's still there. He's going to be there for a short period of time. But he declares this, I have appointed him king. So verse 36, and Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king, amen. May the Lord, the God of my Lord, the king, say so. So he's acknowledging this. He's saying, yay, amen, may it be so. May the Lord, the God of you, David, may this be so. Then he continues, Benaniah does, verse 37. As the Lord had been with my Lord the King, even so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. Now, some might say, well, this is sort of bold for Ben and I to say this to David's face. You may say, hey, may the Lord who's been with you, may he be even more so with Solomon. May his throne be even greater than your throne. You know, some people may take offense to that. I would dare say that people who would take offense at that don't have children. Because that's really the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father is that the lowest that our children will ever be will be the height of what we've attained to. In other words, that they build upon our shoulders and go way beyond that. And that's what he's declaring. May God, who has been with you, may he be with Solomon, and may his throne be even greater than what your throne is. So verse 38, so Zadok, the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites, these all servants, went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. In other words, they did exactly what the king told them to do. Then Zadok, the priest, took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Of course, that begs the question in my mind, which tent? I imagine it's the tent of meeting, because I think that's where the tabernacle was at that time, okay? At Gihon right there, but I'm not sure. Should have looked that up probably. But he takes the horn from the tent and he anoints. The King James says, the horn of oil out of the tabernacle. Yeah, so that's what it was. Then they blew the trumpet and the people said, long live King Solomon. The people were there. They're declaring this. They shouted forth when the trumpet blew, long live the king. And all the people, verse 40, listen to this. And all the people went up after him, playing on pipes, rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth was split by their noise. What? So that the earth was split by their noise? Well, the King James says, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. Well, rent means to be divided, split. New American Standard and the Lexham both say, so that the earth shook at their noise. Okay. The truth is this. We know that the people were ecstatic. We know that they were rejoicing to such a degree that at minimum, the earth was shaking with their noise. It might even be that portions of the earth were split by their noise. So are we expected to believe that they made such a noise that the earth was shaking, that the earth was split? Well, let me read the next verse, and then we'll talk about it more next time. Verse 41, Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished feasting. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, what does this uproar in the city mean? What had they heard? Yeah, they heard the sound of the trumpet, but they heard the uproar. They heard the sound of the earth shaking with the rejoicing that King Solomon is now established as king and not Adonijah. Well, this might be a problem, don't you think? Well, yes, and we'll see how it's resolved in the next episode. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.